The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game. Good Thursday morning to you. VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Game Plus. Of course. iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We should really be ready for this when it happens. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we jump the gun. Sometimes we feel like our clock is different from the actual time of the day. That's inside baseball, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all inside baseball. You don't need to know all that. On the show today, thanks for tuning in, by the way, on the show today, Crackman, Unscripted with the Crackman. We'll do that hour number two. John Legesa will talk Major League Baseball and National Football League Week 9 with us. And Andy McNeil, how about some instant offense from Andy McNeil on the NHL?
Return of the Mac, once again.
Return of the Mac. Name the artist, quick.
Oh, man. I don't remember.
Mark Morrison. Okay, not one pick from Andy. Not two, not three, not four, not five. Six picks from Andy McNeil. Are we kidding?
I was not going to guess that artist either.
No, you had no shot. You had no shot at it. He violated his parole. It's a whole thing, Mark Morrison. All right, listen, here's the deal, though. Last night, the World Series, game number four, we start there. And, boy, the thin line between narrative on this World Series, which is why, by the way, I think is a different way of saying, well, I don't have any bets on this ever in this World Series. The thin line between, oh, my God, the Phillies are just on complete fire. They're going to run away with this series, too. You know what? Now that it's 2-2, we can actually look back and say the Astros have led every game 5-0. Excuse me, 3 of the 4 games, 5-0. So really have the Astros basically dominated every game but one of these. Astros win it last night 5-0. They just don't win it. That would be an understatement. They win it with a combined no-hitter history last night. I think it was Rich PSM on Twitter last night who said, was that the most blasé no-hitter ever? Yeah, that's one way of looking at it, I guess. But it is history because the only other time there's been a no-hitter in the history of the World Series, Don Larsen's perfect game in 1956. That's the only other one. The only other postseason no-hitter. By the way, that was a perfect game from Don Larsen. The only other postseason no-hitter from Roy Halladay. Folks might remember the 2010 National League Division Series gem against the Phillies in this same, against the Reds, I should say, in this same ballpark, Citizens Bank. But last night, it was Christian Javier for 6 innings, 97 pitches deep, no runs, no hits, 9 Ks, 2 walks. Brian Abreu, Rafael Montero, Ryan Pressly, they finished it off innings 7, 8, 9. And the Astros blank the Phillies 5-0. Kelly, this is a David Perdom tweet. We should probably put this out right here if we have it available.
God, yeah.
But this is just... This is one of the more amusing things ever. So there was a prop last night that was combining the Phillies hits and the Sixers three-pointers. DraftKings did this. So according to David Perdom, again, DraftKings offered a bet last night. Sixers made three-pointers combined with Phillies hits. The over-under was 19.5. The Sixers... And this game started early because of the World Series game. Sixers made 19 three-pointers in a loss to the Wizards. By the way, Porzingis with 30. Side note. Sixers made 19 three-pointers. So you're figuring, if you have the over in this...
It's a lock!
It's a lock! There's only been one no-hitter in the history of the World Series.
I'm counting my money already, Gil.
And the Phillies had no hits in Game 4. That's unbelievable. Hat tip to Jay Grease on TFP, whoever that is. We have to look on that. We have to give him credit as well. So that's unbelievable. That's absolutely unbelievable. And it did not get there.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody bet a ton of money on this prop, but man,
still.
It was obviously perfectly priced for a cross-sport prop.
Of course. So here's the thing now. We have game 5 tonight, still in Philly. It is Justin Verlander going for the Houston Astros. It is Thor going for the Phillies, and the Astros minus 150 favorites with Justin Verlander with a very poor World Series history. As we know with him, his performance, and remember he gave up the 5-0 lead in game number one. The adjusted series price, and again, always shop around, but essentially the adjusted series price, we talked about this when the series was knotted up at one game apiece. We'll talk about it the same way as we do at two games apiece, which is essentially what it was, generally speaking, pre-flop. Now that we're knotted up again. So Astros, we're showing -190 at BetMGM. Shop around. You might be able to get it 10 cents less. If you like the Astros, Phillies +155 on the comeback. That's pretty universal on the Phillies here, which is now a de facto best of three, which leads us to the real sort of betting discussion. Oh, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was just going to ask you.
Yes.
As a baseball bettor. So, like, is this, do you think this is just as good or a better time to jump in now than before the series?
On which side?
On the Astros.
I would say it's better.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
I would say it's better, even though intuitively you would say, well, wait a minute, smaller sample size, more time to be random. Yeah, but the problem is they have both Valdez and Javier lined up 6 and 7.
Right.
And so...
And you're going to go home, and you're that big of a favorite in game five on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think now that it's... It's not really intuitive, but I think it's more Astros now to me. I have no bets on this, though. I have none. It does, though, bring up the conversation of World Series MVP, which we've asked of all of our baseball guests this week, but we haven't really chimed in on. And I think this is the real worthwhile discussion for a World Series bet right now, because by proxy, you can have a much more fun bet here. And if you look at this series now, knotted up 2 games apiece, 4 games in, and if you had this bizarro exercise where you're like, you must now vote for an MVP in this tied-up series after 4 games, I don't know who you'd vote for. Because if you look at both sides, let's talk about the Phillies. Let's talk about the Astros. So Kyle Tucker had those 2 home runs in game one. Remember, the Astros ended up losing that game, but he had the 2 home runs in game one. Alex Bregman had the big 2-hit RBI last night. He also had 2 RBI in game two. So he's your RBI leader for the Astros, and you see Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman follow suit, that they're the short shots for the Astros currently, +450, +550 respectively. And then you have Altuve, Peña, and Gurriel. Each of those guys has 3 hits to their credit. And if you look at the next 3 Astros hitters, Alvarez is in there, pardon me, 3 of the next 4 Astros hitters anyway, they chime in at 11-1, 13-1, and in Gurriel's case, 20-1 respectively. Alvarez really hasn't done anything. He's at 11-1. So on the Astros side, you're like, well, with two or three games left, no one's really above the fray. Because, again, all the 5 guys I mentioned, if they go crazy the next 2 or 3 games, who knows, they might break out. But deciding on who that is going to be really a difficult thing. It's very random.
Right, but you would say it's those 5, basically, that are in the mix to choose from?
Well, for the hitters, those are the leaders in the clubhouse. I'm getting to the crux of this. Because with the Phillies, you're thinking, okay, well, at first it was Realmuto because he hit the game-winning home run in game one. He was the leader in the clubhouse. Then it was Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, by the way, the short shot of everybody right now, +350.
And he was like +150 yesterday.
You got to go through 7 Astros before you get to the next guy, which is Schwarber at 14-1. And the reason for that is the Phillies don't have a single player with more than 3 hits or 1 home run in this series thus far. Remember the 3 guys I mentioned from the Astros, Altuve, Peña, and Gurriel, each have 5 hits respectively. So no one on the Phillies has more than 3 hits. Talking about hitters now, nobody has more than 1 home run, even though the Realmuto one won a game. So what does that lead you to? To me, what it leads you to is, all right, what's the clearest path to an MVP then, knowing all that? Since no hitter has completely distinguished themselves above the fray, you got to go to the starters and look back at what they've done thus far and look ahead at where they start. I think that's the way to look at this. And at this point, who are the 3 starters that have distinguished themselves? 2 from the Astros, 1 from the Phillies. The 1 from the Phillies, Ranger Suarez's game 3 performance, where he went 5 scoreless innings, 4 Ks, gave up 3 hits, 4 Ks against 1 walk. All right, there's that. But then the 2 Astros pitchers, again, who are lined up for 6 and 7 now, game 6 and 7, Valdez and Javier. Valdez in game 2, and he's lined up for game 6 back in Houston. In game 2, he went 6 1/3, gave up 1 earned run on 4 hits, 9 Ks against 3 walks. And then there's Javier last night, part of the historic no-hitter, combined no-hitter, 6 scoreless, no hits, 9 Ks against 2 walks. So that, to me, is your answer. I think right now the Houston Astros, one of those 2 guys, right, Valdez or Javier, is probably the bet here. And we're showing them at 13-1 and 14-1 respectively. because that's the direct path. Could any hitter on either team break out and distinguish themselves above the fray? Yes. But I think this is the way you bet this at this point with a de facto best of three. And let me just say this, that some of these books have an in-game MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still up during the game.
Yeah, they're still leaving them up.
Javier went last night at those shops from like 30 to 1 to 15 to 1, and now, you know, even down to 10 to 1, as low as 10 to 1. But you can shop around. We're showing 14 to 1. The reason that Valdez is just slightly shorter is because Valdez has the game 6. So we may not get to a game 7. If the Astros win game 5 and then he performs in game 6, we'll never get to Javier, despite his part of the no-hitter. So that's why Valdez is slightly shorter. But if you think this goes 7, then Javier would be the play. Because at that point, coming off the 6 innings of no-hit ball, he would just probably have to have a quality start in game 7 to win this thing.
Okay. So, and then if we flip the side of it and talk about the Phillies, if you liked the Phillies side of it, wouldn't it be still splash a little on the Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I don't know if Suarez applies the same way as Valdez and Javier. I just don't feel that way about him. Like, the Phillies win the World Series is probably not too good Suarez performances, I don't think. By the way, you don't even see him on the board
and
here.
And you laid it out with the hitters already. So
It could be anyone.
I'm just thinking, sitting back here, if I was going to bet the Phillies on the series price a little bit, I'd be adding a little bit of Bryce Harper, too, just because he's the only guy who's really done much.
I'd almost take a flyer on a longer shot, like a Schwarber or somebody like that, because, again, none of them have more than 3 hits. None of them have more than 1 home run. But I think it's a really interesting market. And the fact that you still get Valdez and Javier at double digits, that feels like maybe just bet them both. Might be the way to go there. John Legesa will chime in on this, his thoughts on World Series Game 5 and beyond, and the NFL Week 9. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM. State-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. If physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Still to come this hour, we'll also, Kelly and I will go through some NFL props. Wild card seeding, that's pretty interesting.
I thought it was, too. And you did as well, right?
Yeah, one of them, there was a team I was like, are you kidding me on this price?
Yeah, there's a couple I think that are worth talking about.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Then we have the big three versus the field, talking about the Bills, the Eagles, and the Chiefs against the field. We'll look at that. And some Survivor thoughts this week for those who are still alive in Survivor. Oh, you lucky people, you.
God bless them.
And tomorrow on the show, Bob DeLuca, Crush from Sports.
Bobby, rolling with 6 still.
The guy with 6. Out of 123 left in Circa Survivor. Good on him. He split him, actually, last week. Said he might not, but he did finally. Had been one team all 6 entries until last week, where he went 3 Cowboys and 3 Dolphins.
So obviously we'll ask him tomorrow, but do you think he was, because the way he was talking to us on the show, do you think he was planning on going all 6 on the Fins?
I thought about that. Well, that's not what I thought of. I don't think he was going all 6 on the Fins.
You think he was all 6 on the Cowboys and then split it?
What I thought about was, yes, there's 2 options, right? Did he purposely fake out on the show when he was on last week? And I don't think he did. I think he was planning on going with one team, and then we might, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. We might have sort of suggested it enough where he was like, maybe I should go too. And then I started feeling bad when the Dolphins were down, because I'm like, oh no, this might be us that did this. But anyway, got them all through, so we'll talk to Bob DeLuca tomorrow. John Legesa joins us now from Mayo Media Network. And of course, he writes for The Athletic. He's the host of The Mix and Corked Stats at Mayo Media Network. He does it all. It's at John Legesa on Twitter. That's Legesza. How you doing, Johnny? How you going?
Gil, I'm great, man. I can't believe that Survivor story. That is unreal. This season has been particularly difficult. And to have all 6 teams all the way, I mean, I was not ready for that. Wow.
He's we love him. We hope Bob gets there. We hope Bob gets there. He's a good dude.
But imagine losing all 6 at once so late. Oh, man, I want to talk to him now.
Yeah, he'll be on tomorrow. We're going to have Bob on as long as he wants to come on. Let me ask you before we get into the game itself and the series itself, because we were just throwing around MVP, And at this World Series MVP, and at this point, my whole suggestion was, as long as Valdez and Javier are double digits, aren't they the plays now? Because nobody, like, we were just talking about Bryce Harper. And for some reason, people are like, oh, Bryce Harper, he's clearly got to be the short shot. Bryce Harper's hit the one homer. He's not really done that much else besides that. So I don't, like, to me, the pitchers are the clearest path, especially the Astros pitchers, because Valdez and Javier are lined up 6 and 7. How do you view this?
Well, I think in an objective world where things make sense, I think you're right. The reason I generally stay away from awards that are subjective is because I'm not really sure. I still think Harper is the favorite.
Is because there are awards
like
that are
thing.
Yeah, it's because there are awards that are subjective, right?
Yeah, listen, the kids would call it swag, you know, and there's something to it. In fact, we spoke about this during the year. I actually factored that into my MVP calculations. I think you have to. There's a certain degree of being a headliner, of being marquee, being the face, that I just seems to go with it, right? There really aren't too many ancillary pieces that seem to come home with these, especially when the marquee guy has a series-shifting moment like that.
Where do you stand now? Now that it's knotted up at 2 games apiece, and we've gone from extremes, right? We've gone from Game 3, 5 Phillies homers that tied the record, the World Series game record. They crush them by a touchdown. Then last night, completely reversed, the combined no-hitter against the Phillies. Now, Game 5 in Philly, but the home field advantage reverts back to Houston, however you feel about home field. And now we have the most vague of all the pitching matchups, because we have a Justin Verlander, Noah Syndergaard matchup, in which Verlander has, well documented, really performed poorly in the World Series. Do you read into that kind of thing? Do you believe that's in his head? Or do you believe that's just rando?
You know, I'm really glad you brought this up because, again, we've handicapped now a ton of baseball games together. And I normally come with the utmost confidence. And this is generally sometimes where you see me slink away, because I think this is, again, we're going into this subjective narratives. I don't know. I see Justin Verlander v. Noah Syndergaard. This is a distinct pitching edge. I see plus 110 for a -1.5 run line, and think my model, because I'm a model better. You know, baseball can get into the weeds chasing narratives for 8 months. I think now might be the time to do it. But I see that price and think this is a smash. The model absolutely would say that's the play. But you get into the narratives, like you said. I don't know if I really believe it. Verlander has the 7 playoff ERA this year, but it's a 2-4 Sierra, something I would generally be looking at. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
The walk rate is still at 6%, very good. The BABIP is over 400, right? Balls in play, the batting average on those is over 400. Generally something that's not sustainable. It's not a luck stat. I hate when people do that. But it is generally unsustainable, especially with a pitcher of Verlander's caliber. Again, pitch and contact, something we spoke about, is not always in the pitcher's control. Absolutely. I tend to think this one is the Astros running away with this one, and if so, it's their series to win. So I did want to get to your question. I think it's the Astros. Actually, I think it's the winner of this game, because I think if Verlander is defeated, it just is going to be too cemented that the top dog didn't get it done, and I think maybe the Astros slink away. If Verlander gets it done, you could feel the confidence from yesterday bleeding into today and taking them all the way. I'm just not buying with Thor. He's really struggled against lefties, and we know the biggest boppers on the Astros are lefties. He made a change, right, from being that dominating strikeout pitcher to trying to be more of a finesse contact guy by featuring the changeup to lefties. The problem is this one, you know, I was digging in the weeds. Jordan Alvarez against changeups this year, 19 barrel. He has a 900 slug and 11 home runs. I just have a hard time seeing Thor navigate the tough lefty. Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable for the season, right? I didn't cherry pick you here. I didn't cherry pick you. A 900 slug, 11 home runs for Jordan. He's also at plus money for total bases. So, like, my gut and the models, the numbers tell me it's Astros. But everything else is telling me it's Phillies. I've been tweeting out that they're a team of destiny. I don't even like the Phillies, but I had them on my ticket as a futures hit for the World Series because of the price for the Athletic at halfway point. And actually, I didn't think there was much chance of it getting home. And now here we are. So you can see where I get caught on the fence. I hate to be so noncommittal, but
right.
If you're into the computing, if you're into the computing, for me, it's the Astros today. And if you're not, and if you're betting gut, I think it's the Phillies, right? You go with the Phillies, the upper hand. They're going to beat Verlander and take home the crown. Like I said, I'm stuck. Come talk to me in April.
let's go to football. Thursday night football. Yeah. We have this rare circumstance, right, where we have Philly and Houston involved in two sports, on their stage by themselves tonight. And in football, it's in Houston, but the Eagles are two touchdown favorites. And are we getting Brandon Cooks, or is Brandon Cooks done tonight? He's not even playing tonight. Is that the word? So there you go. 13.5, 14. Shop around, obviously, for these. These will tick back and forth perhaps today. 45.5 is the total. And we were just throwing around yesterday. I mean, for those of us in contest, we have five picks. Do you even put this in advance if you really like the Eagles against the team with the best record in football against the team with the worst record in football? What do you like?
Yeah, for me, clearly it's the Eagles with a win, but you and I now are close enough to know I just can't pay that kind of juice. I think they'll probably cover the points, but my love is really with the under. I was surprised to see this move up over 45. I think the public tends to chase, again, narratives a bit and how the Eagles looked last week. Okay, the Houston defense, it's bad objectively, but more so against the run. So the run defense is dead last across the board. However, middle of the pack against the pass, and in fact, allowing 19 completions a game, that's top five. They're also in the top 10 in splash plays, which is, you know, all the good stuff. Forced fumbles, interceptions, they're top 10 in interceptions. The Philadelphia offense is oh my goodness, they are just excellent. They can do everything. However, that tends to work against them, and we've seen this. Check this out, Gil. So Eagles split by half. So, and this is why I'm with the under, because I think the Eagles get it and get ahead. They might even get the two touchdowns. But in the first half, Philadelphia Eagles offense, 0.18 EPA per snap, 20 points per game, you know, by the half. That's first across the board. Second half, minus 0.05 EPA per snap, a minus 1.5 point differential per game, only 7 points. That's tied for 26 with these Houston Texans. So I think that's what you're going to see is a lot of tick, 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 tick. The Houston defense is awful against the run. We're going to get a healthy dose of Miles Sanders, but I'm afraid of checking those props. I've seen a lot on the internet. My worry is with the Eagles getting ahead, when they go into cruise control in the second half, that it moves to Boston Scott. So give me the under. Man, let's give the Eagles 30 points. I don't see the Texans getting more than two touchdowns. I might be under at 44. So that being a critical number, I'm certainly under 45.5 tonight. Like I said, this one's easy, like 28-3. This one has all the potential of just a total mop-up job, and the Eagles showing us they're not the Buffalo Bills. They are not going to run up the score. They are not going to be slinging the ball around the yard. That's not how they operate. They're going to lean on the offensive line, lean on the run game, take advantage, and run the clock. I just don't think we get close to that score.
John Legesa with some conviction on the under. I like it. John, always a pleasure, man. Great to see your face. Thank you for making the time. John Legesa, everybody. At John Legesa on Twitter. By the way, 13.5 mostly, but just a couple 14s out there now.
And Brandon Cook's questionable game time decision.
Yeah, he thought he was going to get traded, man. Wasn't at practice this week. So we'll see. Coming back with those football props. Wild card seedings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only 99 United States dollars. Get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, plus our upcoming college basketball, college bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your $99 midseason special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Bill Krakenberger unscripted still to come. As well this morning, Andy McNeil, a six-pack of hockey picks. Six! It's like spotting Bigfoot. And that never happens. But we have that coming up as well. Sorry about your Lakers bet yesterday. Oh, excuse me, your Pelicans bet yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun. Ugh. It's okay. Will Hill was texting me, but luckily I
you both had
luckily
the Pelicans.
I fell asleep watching it with about 5 minutes in regulation, so I didn't personally have to live through it. But yeah, sounds like, I don't want to say a bad beat, but it was kind of a bad beat. Especially when some guy named Matt Ryan
drills a
fadeaway corner three to tie it up and send it to overtime.
Everybody made the same joke, probably. That's what Matt Ryan's doing now?
Yeah, that's what Matt Ryan's doing now. It's all funny. It's all funny when you're not losing bets.
Ties it at the buzzer. Lakers win in overtime. The over wins. The under goes to die.
Yeah. Okay, though. I had a winner on the Rockets, Clippers under. Got in live on the Hawks last night.
Nice.
So that was a nice win. Jared Allen over rebounds. Keep hitting that one. It's nice.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. J-Rod, he's got two. He says, I agree. Gil will believe little Dan Snyder will sell when we see Reuters report it. He goes on to curse at Dan Snyder, or at least emoji him to death.
Well, yeah, J-Rod, you never text anymore. You never text.
He texts you? Really? You guys are like
or
that?
Or tweet, sorry. Tweet, text, whatever.
J-Rod,
early.
He also asked, any tennis today? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Kasatkina, Daria Kasatkina. is the play tonight against the American Coco Gauff. I got it at plus 116 last night. Guess what it is right now? Plus 116. This one did not move.
There you go.
So plus 116 on Kasatkina. Coco's serve has not been up to snuff. The market kind of generally likes her, but the numbers point to Kasatkina here as a dog. That's the play for show tonight in the women's WTA finals. So there is a tennis pick. Spike Magruder. I feel like if Suarez wins game seven for the Phillies, it's Steve Pierce. It's the Steve Pierce effect from 2018, and he wins it. Harper gets it by going off in these next three. I don't disagree with that, Spike. I just think it's a clearer path for the two Astros pitchers. But the same could apply to Suarez for sure. Could. That's what I was saying sort of in the first segment. There's a possibility. I just don't know. You know, again, five innings and then being yanked. Obviously, not as clear. And you're right. There is a certain factor where if Harper goes off, he would then take it from him, which I don't necessarily think applies on the Astros side. New York Mets 16. Gil, Houston wins series, winning next two games. What's the probability of Javier winning MVP? A no-no even for six innings is incredible and appears to be a series changer. Yeah, but if Valdez has the game-winning game six outing and he has the two quality starts, six innings plus, just like he did in game two, I believe it was, that's going to be tough to have Javier over that, I would say. So that's the only caveat I would mention to that. But I understand the point. And with all of this, it's all subjective, so you don't know. It's just your best kind of thinking on the subject. And then Will Hill chimed in. He says, get John Legace a cup of coffee. He has no energy on these spots. Hey, they stole my line. Legace is awesome. Okay. A couple news and notes here before we get into the football props. One, the Dolphins and newly acquired outside linebacker Bradley Chubb, they've reached an agreement on a five-year, $119 million extension that includes $63.2 million guaranteed. Kelly, how would you like $63.2 million in your pocket?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sources telling Adam Schefter. And then because we went off on Kyrie yesterday.
I'll take it in 20s, please.
It in 20s?
Small bills, yeah.
It's just in 20s for Kelly. 20s, please. Kelly likes small bills for, you know, things. Kyrie Irving, since we went off on him yesterday, it's only fair to report on the development in the Kyrie Irving story. He and the Brooklyn Nets will each donate $500,000 in the wake of Irving's controversial social media post about a book and movie that featured anti-Semitic tropes. In a joint statement, the Nets said Irving and the team will work with the ADL, that's the Anti-Defamation League, in, quote, an effort to develop educational programming that is inclusive and will comprehensively combat all forms of anti-Semitism and bigotry, unquote. Should I just leave that there, or should I make a comment?
I got something to say about it. Okay, so, I mean, great, finally they did something, I guess.
That's how I feel.
Gil, would you like to know how much Kyrie Irving makes a game?
Yeah.
$450,000.
So
did we
that.
Really learn our lesson? Did we really say anything?
No, because I don't hear an apology in any
I don't
of
hear
that.
An apology. I don't no. hear any remorse,
hear
any
anything.
Contrition.
You know what else I don't hear? Anybody else in the NBA going on, after him.
This is. We were talking a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a disaster and embarrassing what's happening in Brooklyn right now. You and I talk a lot about the Warriors and Heat.
Yep.
These things would never happen on franchises.
Never.
Like that.
Never. Shameful. Let's go to the props. NFL Big 3 versus the field. This available at Caesars, William Hill / Caesars. We were talking about this the other day, and you actually, well, you didn't ask. You asked Chrissy about what would you make the Bills, Eagles,
yeah,
what would you make the Chiefs, Eagles. We didn't get to this, but then later you sort of.
I kind of floated this on the air. I think it was Tuesday, right? Where I was like, I wonder what, I'm sure someone has it up. I wonder what the price would be on this, because I kind of put it in this range. I thought it might even be closer to $2.
Well, we saw on when you first brought it up, folks were nice enough to tweet in from separate sports books. Mm-hmm. One was the Big Three, if we'll call them that, the Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles. They were minus 140 at one shop. They were minus 126 on Tuesday at another. We're showing minus 150 currently. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles versus the field. Any of the other 29 teams in the National Football League. And so, you know, the quick question is, which of the other 29 teams do you think could torpedo this in a postseason? The first team that leaps to mind for me, as I said the other day, is the San Francisco 49ers. Right? I just think they're the most balanced of the rest. Where do you really trust the Eagles 100% in a postseason game against the Niners and or the Cowboys? I don't know that I do. I don't know that I feel like now, do I think the Bills and the Chiefs are headed for a collision course for the AFC Championship? Absolutely. I don't see any team there knocking off one of those in the postseason.
It's one of those two. One of those two, I would think, ends up in the Super Bowl. But, you know, we saw what happened last year, too. So then, yes, you would have to look NFC side. And to me, it's the 49ers or the Cowboys.
I think minus 150 is very tempting.
It's very tempting. I would say this is about the price that I floated out there. So when we saw the tweets of minus 126, minus 127, again, just like this with everything, shop around, right?
Yep,
shop around.
For sure.
Gil, if that was minus 126 was sitting here in town, I'd bet it. I would bet that.
I don't know, because I have my Niners futures too already, like 16-1 kind of thing. Mm. So it's like, I don't know if I would get involved because I have that. But if I didn't have that, I probably would.
What's funny is I don't really have, you know, we got a ton of NFL futures bets. I don't really have many to win the Super Bowl. I'm looking right now. Actually, the only one I have is from, you know, right before that great Russell Wilson trade, and I bet the Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
Though I guess if I had, which we all did, by the way. Though I guess if I have my Niners futures and I wanted to lock in a price, I really thought, you know, I don't know, there's a way to play it too that way. Let's. By the way, here are Kelly's futures bets that and he has a bunch of them. Here's his Broncos to win the AFC, Broncos to win the Super Bowl, Colts to win the AFC South, alt over 10 wins. The two bottom ones look all right, though, don't they?
They look really good.
They look damn good. Vikings to win the NFC North looks great. Giants over. Okay, that's okay. We can switch. I'll move it along. Eagles to win the NFC East looks good. Packers not so much. Saints, who knows? Titans to miss. Panthers having fewest, I don't know.
It's in the mix. Packers was just to hedge off all my Vikings positions because I got big numbers on and money on the Vikings.
Oh, good. Yes, I know because you're Mr. Viking. By the way, here
are mine. Oh, I got my hat.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Got my Vikings hat.
When are you wearing that?
Tomorrow.
Why would I even ask?
Let's save it for Friday when we go over everything NFL.
Friday Vikings hat with Kelly. Reason enough to tune in. My futures bets, by the way, from pre-flop here. Chargers to win the Super Bowl? Yeah, sure. And then the Niners to win the NFC and to win the Super Bowl. Plus 705 was all I got, huh? All right, that was right after they decided to keep Jimmy G this offseason. We could roll into the wild card. Can I do the Survivor thing quick? Because I think it's quicker. Survivor, for those who are still in Survivor, there's really not really more than a handful of choices, I would think, this week. And again, it is all dependent on who you have left. So you can't really do a blanket thing here. But in terms of the options, you know, it's pretty obvious to me. There's five of them. Obviously, tonight is an option if you want to use the Eagles. They're the biggest favorites on the board, 13.5-point favorites at the Texans. Sure. Though I will say that there are other opportunities to use the Eagles moving down the line. So there's that. We'll skip down to the bottom. Bills and Chiefs, both 12.5-point favorites against the Jets and Titans, respectively. In the Bills' case, there's the Thanksgiving consideration for Circa. So if you're in Circa, still one of the 123 left, you got to consider that. And then the Chiefs, they've got a home game against Jacksonville left. They've got two Denver games, so maybe there's a better opportunity.
That's the one I feel like you can't play.
Man, I don't think you can play
Chiefs.
That. Bengals-Patriots, the Patriots are playing the Colts. A lot of people might think about using the Patriots. I just don't trust them. And then the Bengals, to me, is the play. If I were, you know, I had Survivor mapped out. If I were still in it, it would have been Atlanta this past week. That would have been a fun sweat. And for me, it would have been the Bengals this week hosting the Panthers. They are at Pittsburgh in 2 weeks, but I still think this is the one to play. So the Bengals would be my choice of the above. But those are your five choices. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball fans can make every World Series at bat mean more than ever with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of MLB. Download the BetMGM app today and add a new level of excitement to the on-field action. When you sign up, you'll enjoy instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the trust of MGM Resorts, the BetMGM app is the perfect way to experience the excitement of wagering on the World Series. Download the app and take the king of sportsbooks with you wherever you go. Step up to the plate, sign up today, and find out why nothing beats a win with BetMGM. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. we interrupt the off-air Usher dance party to give you a pro tip of the hour. Ready for a pro tip, Kelly?
Do it.
Let's do it. That's what we should have. We should have a Let's Do It sounder for that. We go back to the World Series MVP market. I think that's the obvious one here. Look at some longer shots for World Series MVP. This is a de facto best of three. Nobody has really taken control of that market when we talk about hitters. We talked about it. None of the Phillies have more than a homer or more than three hits. And when you look at the Astros, well, Bregman's got four RBI. Maybe him. Maybe it's Kyle Tucker with those two homers in the first game. Maybe it's the three guys, Altuve, Gurriel, and Peña with the five hits. But really, it's about the pitchers, I think. Valdez and Javier on the Astros side. Maybe Suarez on the Philly side, but I would lean towards Valdez and Javier. Long shots, though. That's what you should be looking at right now in the World Series market. That's your pro tip of the hour, the VSiN pro tip of the hour. We do one across every show, so that means at least 20 a day. They're all available for VSiN pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you could sort them by sport and by show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not very often that this gentleman walks onto the show from north of the border and says, you know what, I have, even two picks. Today he's got six in the National Hockey League, a league dominated thus far by the Bruins and the Vegas Golden Knights. It's Andrew McNeil. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Mom.
is that what she calls you? Gil, she I calls thought, you
yeah,
Andrew?
Yeah. I know hockey is really important to everybody, but I got to let you guys know I only got a few minutes here, so I got to kind of run through things kind of quick here today. So let's get into it. Let's get into it, Gil.
Please.
First off, I've got a bet on the Carolina Hurricanes. This one has moved a bit. They were available at plus 110, even plus 115, plus 120 overnight. But now around even money, minus 105. Victor Hedman missed the last game for the Lightning. I think he plays today. But, hey, if he doesn't, there's some upside here. I still think the Hurricanes are a decent bet, a little bit smaller than I liked them earlier at plus 110. But they're a decent bet at even money. I think they should be a minus 120 favorite if Hedman doesn't play. I think the gap is really big between these two teams, or a lot bigger between these two teams than the market is suggesting here. And I also like the LA Kings. It's another big play that I have today. Not so much big in terms of the payout, but big because they're a minus 170, minus 175 favorite. I still like them there. I think they should be priced around minus 200. They're not a complete team. They're not an elite team, but they are one of the more well-structured teams in the league, and the Blackhawks are not. The Blackhawks are bottom five team offensively. They rank 30th in the league in shot attempt 4% or shot attempt percentage. Sorry, and the Kings, that's their area of strength. So LA should have a pretty good opportunity tonight with Chicago relying on their third string goaltender. They're without their best defenseman, Seth Jones. So I like LA to get the win on the money line. Now, I've also got two bets on the Calgary Flames. One in regulation. I've got a big edge here. Minus 190. I think the line should be north of minus 130. So I could justify betting the regulation line at minus 120. And I also sprinkled a half unit on the puck line. I had 1.5 goals at plus 135 for the Flames to cover that. So hoping to hit both bets in that game. Not last, but not least, actually. I got one more to get to, and it's the Vegas Golden Knights. I think this one has moved around a bit. There was some better prices available even after I bet it, so maybe take my assessment of this game for what it's worth. But Ottawa is a team I bet on in the last two games. They just had a road trip through Florida against the Panthers and the Lightning. They got shelled in both games. The score was close. It shouldn't have been. It should have been a much wider margin for the Panthers and the Lightning. But Ottawa stuck around because they do have some, you know, offensive capabilities. But Anton Forsberg, the second string goaltender, he's been carrying the load here. He got shelled in Florida. 91 shots on goal in those two games, and I think he's going to get shelled again versus the Vegas Golden Knights. So I've got a small bet on them at minus 140 or better. And lastly, it's the Kraken. Now, I think there's only one. I think there's only one sportsbook that has plus 155 or 156 available, and that's kind of my cutoff. So this one is kind of out of range now. But I bet the Kraken earlier at plus 160. I like them down to plus 155 for a small bet. I'm really not high on this Minnesota Wild team. Looking for any opportunity where my model lines up with the market, and I can fade this team because I do not think they're good, and I think the market is far too high on them right now, considering that we're roughly 10 games into the season for every team, and they have looked as bad as they have in a long time. So that's it.
All right. Hurricanes, Kings, Flames and Reg, Flames minus 1.5, Kraken, Golden Knights. Andy, we are really sorry to interrupt your day. Sorry about that. I know you have
to go. That's okay. I squeeze you guys in. You know.
thank you, Andy. Andy McNeil, everybody. Six plays at Digital Gambler. How about that? Six plays from Andy. Man, sometimes he only has one. Sometimes he has none. Six. Here's the rule. Every time he has six plays, we bring him on. That's the rule. NFL wild card seeding. These are available. These props are available at DraftKings. And these are pretty cool. So it's called wild card seeding, but basically, otherwise worded, it's will this team end up as a wild card team? So will they get into the playoffs but not win their division? So you're either four, five, six, or seven is what we're basically, five, six, or seven in the respective conferences, four divisions, obviously. So five, six, or seven is where you end up. So we look at the NFC, and I got to tell you, Kelly, I love one of these bets. Do you know which one? Guess which one I love.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, that's it. It leaps off the page. Are you kidding me? Plus 290? So the Seahawks, yes, they currently lead the NFC West by one game over the Niners, by 1.5 games over the Rams. But the Niners' schedule and the Niners' talent, quite frankly, still really lends to them winning that division. And, you know, we've been pro Seahawks here on this show the whole season. But plus 290 to be a wild card to make the playoffs at this point, you're 5-3. That is the bet on this board, yes?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny that you were drawn to that because I was drawn to just kind of the NFC West as a whole. I thought these numbers were interesting. Yes, I think that would probably be the best bet to make. But I also wouldn't, if you told me you wanted to splash a little on the 49ers at plus 450, just because they're so jumbled together right now.
I hear you.
I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. Plus 450, I think that's a long enough number.
Don't make splash. It's my good buddy Jamesy's grandmother used to tell him in the pool. Jamesy, don't make splash.
I don't know. There's other ones on here. Like, this really does. The NFC is great. Like, the NFC for this market is great. There's probably a lot of these that you could bet right now. I mean, look, there's only two that are at minus money, right? That's how wide open this is. And would you really be willing to lay minus 190 on the New York Giants?
No, I think, first of all, I think the Cowboys one is kind of ridiculous, right? Because if the Cowboys, and I get it, the Eagles' schedule is super easy. So, yes, the Cowboys ought to be a favorite to be a wild card. But minus 370, good Lord, don't bet that.
Yeah.
Because either way, they could, you know, in some world overcome the Eagles, in some world they could fall off.
They could fall out completely, yeah.
Giants, I just don't, right, I don't trust them to bet minus 190, quite frankly. And I think,
know the record's there where it looks like it's almost a can't miss, but I don't trust them enough to lay 190.
I don't think the Rams are good enough at 3-1, quite frankly. Vikings are too far ahead to bet them at 10-1. I guess you could make a case for the Falcons and or the Buccaneers, but no, you can't, pardon me, because that division sucks. So only a division winner is going to win from that division. So you can't. It's not about finishing second in a division. It's about finishing 5, 6, and 7. Let's go to the AFC.
That's where the Falcons was one that I thought of at first, too, and then I did that same thing. I'm like, you got to be careful with that.
Got to be careful. Now, I don't like anything as much in the AFC. Do you?
Okay. This would be a shop-around situation, right? But and, you know, if you have the bankroll. But Dolphins minus 225, I don't even think that number's long at all. Like, I think that number should be minus $3.
I think you're probably right about that.
Like, it should be closer to what the Cowboys one is.
They're not catching the Bills.
So, like, that number ain't for everybody. Obviously, that's not a bet for everybody. But, like, that, I mean, that feels pretty locked up. And to only have to lay 225, I actually don't think it's a bad bet.
Value's value.
Value's value, yeah.
What do you trust the Chargers? I don't.
I don't. I mean, if I had to make another one on here.
Bengals?
It'd be Bengals.
Yeah. Just because the Ravens schedule is so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bengals are 4-4. The Bengals still have the talent to get there. That's probably the best bet, plus 150 on this board.
There's been, look, could you make the argument heading into last Monday night's game that two people were too high on the Bengals, including myself?
Yeah,
of course you could make that argument. I also think there's been a little bit of an outlandish takeaway from that Monday night game that the Bengals are now all of a sudden trash, which I don't think is the case
either. No. Seahawks and Bengals, I think those are the best two bets, but I agree with you on the Dolphins too. Like, not bet for everybody, but that's probably value too. We don't have this anywhere to bet in Nevada, do we?
I don't think so. I wanted to say, of course not at first, but yeah. I don't. There might be one spot.
But for those of you who can bet such things in the DraftKings jurisdiction, good on you. Those would be our recommendations. Unscripted with the Crack Man next, right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.